Hello, hello, and welcome to Lore's World. Today is going to be a little bit different, and I hope to continue this trend, but I'm going to do a solo podcast because what we know is that I can talk, 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 and I have a lot to say. So I want to dive into the 15 steps. I think made most famous and popular by Kimberly Seldon. She has an amazing business called The Business of Design. And for many who are starting in the design community, I think that if you are lucky enough to be guided towards Kimberly, she may really help and be an integral part of kicking things off on, you know, some of the process side of things. So I really wanted to dive into this 15-step, I guess, recipe, we'll call it. Really, no matter where you are in your career, you will always have to follow a process. And so I'm going to really do a little bit of a deep dive into each step, and I will give you some feedback on what my experience has been, what has evolved from these steps since we started using them and adapted them to what our business process is. Okay, if I sound like I'm moving around, it's because I'm trying to get cozy here on the sofa. And also, I have a little cold, so I will, you know, flag anything if it's too apparent, but I might have to clear my throat a couple times. Let me clear my throat. Jock jams. All right. So, first of all, step one, the consultation. Okay, so I will tell you what, you know, more or less she specifies in the rules, but, and I'm also actually taking this from someone else's website. It's called Rooms by Eve. So she's kind of paraphrasing what Kimberly had said. I'm actually going to use it from here, and then I can kind of, you know, speak to if this is what we do. I can even get into pricing and, what we were charging, for everything, like, why not? So every project begins with a consultation, whether it's a DIY project you're interested in or a full house remodel. It all starts here. This is an opportunity to meet, see your space, and understand the scope of the project. So that is step one. Okay. I am going to say no, that is not step one. Step one is actually the discovery call. So in advance of the consultation, you are going to have a discovery call. That means that someone has gone to your website, likely, and this is how we would like to have it formatted so that there could actually be, you know, a trail of correspondence in the email, so it's easily accessible. You can always go back to that, and actually we would file away the discovery call and their original responses to our form on our Google Drive, just so, you know, you can pull that up before the consultation, or if you're ever referencing when you're putting together the letter of agreement, like, you have some sense of what the scope is. Just the more information, the better. So, discovery call basically, and I might as well just go to the website and tell you what the questions are. First name, last name, email, address, house listing. That's super handy. So you can kind of have a sense of where the house is at. Is it a new build? Is it an older home that will require lots of updates? Approximate square footage. That's important to give you some reference into what the scale is. What rooms are you designing? How do you need the spaces to function? So this is an opportunity for people to let you know, you know, how they live, what their expectations are to some degree, spaces to be designed. And then we're very specific about, you know, exterior to entry, stairwell, formal living space. All of these spaces can be defined as their own part of the project and scope. So really important that even if you have a stairwell that you want to be looked at, a lot of people don't really consider that. So we put it there so that people are thinking, oh, well, I'm going to need a runner. Well, are you also going to add trim maybe and art and paint and moldings? And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And that itself could be 15K easy. What is your overall investment, including purchases, design fees, and design expenses? Okay. So we are really trying to get some kind of sense as to what the potential client wants to invest on this project. It is so important to this stage that there's openness on this end. When someone tells me they haven't thought of it, at that point of the discovery call, I am concerned. I think that it is fair to say that some people are totally in the quote unquote discovery process, but I think that they're not serious then and they're still shopping around. And I think they're, you know, waging your hourlies potentially versus someone else, which is totally fair. But I think before you even want to consider doing a consultation with them, they have to tell you how much they want to spend, or it begins a very slippery slope, I think, of budgetary problems. And I would say from my experience, this is always true. So super important. Then we get into more specifics with drop-down boxes about renovation and build budget, and then decor budget. And we have different variations of pricing. And truthfully, what's on here is what we're comfortable working with. And that is from so much experience in what do things cost, what will the base or hourly kind of work out to be so that it's worth our while, truthfully. How would you describe your personal aesthetic? That is a good one. Also, when someone says, I don't know, I'm really open to helping someone kind of figure out and curate what their look could be. But I think the best answer is when they reference something that we've done alongside, you know, something about their own personal style. Otherwise, I think that there can be a power struggle throughout the whole project. If their style aesthetically is so different, then, you know, truthfully, they probably should be looking at a different designer. Ideal start date, completion date. This is really important from the perspective of how realistic is this potential client? How did you hear about us? I always love hearing that. And why would you like to work with us? And, you know, I think it takes a while to establish yourself as a designer. And so people definitely long time and still to this date reference other designers' work. And that's cool. And I think that, you know, as a creative, you're always kind of taking on design aesthetics that like subconsciously have trickled into your psyche from design magazines and Pinterest and Instagram. But I think that you ultimately want to establish your aesthetic, and then hopefully someone is coming to you for that. Okay. And then the discovery call happens once this form has been submitted. So the discovery call is more or less going over the questions in the form, but also asking questions like, why are you looking for a designer? Are you looking for Elsie and Kel, or are you looking for a designer? There's a very very big distinction between the two questions. And the main thing being, if someone says I'm looking for a designer versus Elsie and Kel, or, you know, in my future, I am going under the umbrella of For Porter. And that distinction is that of someone just wanting you to be able to be their assistant, basically, and process orders and coordinate things and pull it all together, versus I think the latter of the designer of choice being, you know, whatever your company name is. You want them to say that because that means they're going to trust you, trust your aesthetic, trust your vision, trust you as a creative, not just someone who can execute. I'm not saying that the execution part, there's not a skill to it, because logistics require time, skill, patience. But I think that, it's not a good thing. And it always, again, back to the aesthetics not aligning, it leads to a power struggle of sorts, because they will be consistently infusing, I think, their style throughout the whole project. And if you don't align to it, you're not going to want to use it for your portfolio and invest in it the way that you would have, you know, if it was your kind of lens into what they could do for the project. Okay, so let's get back to the steps. Step one. So now that we've done the discovery call, I think you should be able to establish, are they being open with their responses? Are they ready for this experience? Some designers absolutely do consultations that don't require sinking your teeth into the whole project. That's totally fine. I also enjoy just consulting, but I think that has to be very much established from the beginning, or it can be a very misleading process, like in the way that you then kind of go forward with billing and how do you want to make the deliverables for just a consultation, quote unquote, with no strings attached versus the full service design. And that's, I'm not really interested in doing consultation unless you are kind of cutting the ties or having an hourly agreement so that they're checking in with you and you're giving them what they're asking for. And then you're kind of, you know, going your separate ways until you resume that relationship. I don't like the hybrid of client does some work, we do some work. That never works. It always ends up being, you know, unfairly distributed the way that the designer is, working behind the scenes versus what the client's expectations are. So I think aligning expectations are so important. The contract. Okay. So in Rooms by Eve, she says, at the end of our consultation, if you're interested in hiring me, we'll sit down together and review my services agreement. I charge an hourly rate. Okay. Some people do base rates. Alternatively, for larger projects, I charge a flat rate fee for my design fees. At this point, you will know before we begin how much that will be. And okay, this is where I really have a lot of alarms. I will weigh in on this. Additionally, at this point, we will need to establish your budget and desired style. Again, this should have been, from my purview, discussed in the discovery call and through the form. And of course, tweaks will be made, but I will give you more insight to my thought process on this. So contract, we typically would be creating this. This would be the only deliverable that we would be giving to a potential client after the consultation. That's how we would do it. And that sat well with me in the sense that they are paying for the consultation. In terms of fees, I will now be personally charging $425 plus HST. firm, my design firm, we were at, I believe, 625 plus HST. And then, depending on what the project scale was, we were either lining up a contractor to be on site with us at the first meeting, or we were engaging vendors afterwards, so that we could put together a tentative budget. At this point, we've had so much exposure to different trade costs and project scales that I think putting together a guesstimation for the project is something that we can be fairly accurate about. So that's what we would do. Some people only share this at presentation stage, but I absolutely, beyond, you know, throwing out some numbers, I always throw out numbers at the consultation, will not sit down and tell them, this is exactly what you're going to be, this is how much you're going to be spending. Cause I like to sit down and just make sure all the line items are in there, and then they can weigh in and say, no, let's add this, let's subtract this. Like, it's a greater discussion. So I've never understood this part of this process. It doesn't really resonate with me. Hourly rate, for me is $175 an hour. And then in the contract, if it's something out of scope, we charge more of a premium for that, just because, you know, all those hours really add up, and those additional requests. So we try and make certain that we are having that kind of outline from the beginning and not after. If you guys have any questions about this, I would love to talk more about it, by the way. Okay, so we will establish your budget and desired style. Again, this desired style, hopefully you are aligning on this beforehand, and at consultation time, you're merely just seeing what items they have already and how you can kind of collaborate with what they have that's pre-existing, what you're hoping to bring into the space, what their ideas are for what can be brought into the space. But hopefully you guys are kind of, you know, having some kind of cohesion where you will be meeting in the middle. And I love a client that has a personal style that really kind of jumps out, because those projects, you really get that individuality. You're not just kind of, as much as I love to put my design into it, people, a lot of clients are, you know, quite safe, and they're not necessarily saying, yeah, I want this color in this room and this color in this room. Like, it feels very formatted. So when they do have, you know, this kind of desire to really lean into your aesthetic, and they also have some items that they brought to the table, I think it can create a super cool collaborative end product. Okay. Trade day. So this is after the fact, after you have secured the job. That's the time beyond having the contractor, you know, it is good to have a contractor come, and they don't charge to consult. So have them there if you can from the beginning, and get multiple if you can, because pricing can vary. But, so trade day, after you secure the job, then you get them in. And I say that because it's your time, it's your gas, it's your relationships, and you are asking these people to take time out of their day, and it is taking time out of your day. So don't do it before you have those signatures lined up saying, I want to work with you. Like, none of this can be free. And I think in this pay structure, there's two ways to do this. Like, the way that we would do it would be a percentage of the design fee would be paid up front, and a percentage of the product fee would be paid up front. And then the remaining months or timeline that we felt the project would take, we would prorate it per the amount of months. Some do a biweekly payment schedule and are, billing for the actual items that they're purchasing. I like to have a broader kind of opportunity to just get the payments in based on the agreed upon overall amount. And that's what the product payments are for. And then at the end, you'll pay, the final payment and any potential overages. Again, ask me any questions about this, because I am giving you lots of information and I can go into anything more specifically in another podcast. Okay. Behind the scene design work. After trade day, each of the tradesmen will submit a proposal. I start putting it all together. I also want to say that, it's not like we're getting necessarily multiple painters in or wallpapers or electricians. Like, I think over time you develop your team and that's who you just go to, unless the client is wanting to bring someone on, and then that's kind of their responsibility to have that relationship. Of course, we supervise it, but that's not always recommended. I feel like you can start this precedence of a runaway train almost when someone's bringing their own people in. Just the level of control can be a little bit challenging, and based on what their conversations have been with them versus yours, like too many cooks in the kitchen versus having that pre-existing relationship where you have the trust of what their process looks like, what their scheduling looks like, what their payment structures look like. There's definitely always a different kind of feeling when we are the ones bringing in the trades. Okay. And then in this time we reserve about, 6 weeks or so to develop the concept. We will do little temperature checks, after the consultation, kind of, stating, are we on the right track about where this is going? Is this what you were hoping for? And giving them a very specific but varied approach to where we could potentially go. And that's their opportunity to weigh in. So at this point, you really should be nailing what the project is going to be looking like without getting too detailed, because that's for the presentation. Okay, so what is she saying here? All the furnishings, fixtures, paint colors, tile, window treatments, rugs, and every other detail will be sourced during this time. Yes, yes, yes. Each of these items will be within the range you specified on your budget. So yeah, it's more so the budget we've specified with the line items, and that they have the opportunity to weigh in on that. I will know the lead times for ordering custom products such as upholstery. Yes, we should know, but in today's climate of design, there absolutely has been a shift in, I think, some of these vendors having more control over, stocking issues, and like they absolutely have talked about supply chain and it can be frustrating. It can feel like an excuse sometimes. It can feel like a reason for them to delay the project. And, it happens much more even, and sometimes it's true that it is the supply chain, but they should be telling you that upfront at this point. COVID shouldn't necessarily be an excuse anymore. They should have factored that into the timeline they give you at the beginning of the project. Then everyone's expectations will be set. The process can take approximately 4 weeks. But we will update you, probably week one, once we've signed off with them, we give them the presentation date 6 weeks out, and that's all there is to it. When someone really wants to rush a project, that's also a red flag, because even though they know you will be 6 to 12 months out with some of the product, I promise you the person who's saying, yeah, okay, I totally respect your process. I would have liked it done in 3 months, but I'm okay waiting the 6 to 9 to 12, you know, there is quite a big buffer there, but then no one's upset. That client though, that's saying the 3 months, that is lenient over the 9 to 12, they won't be. They're going to be asking you constantly. So just be aware of that. And if you do have the cojones to lightheartedly tell them up front, like, this is a project, this is the kind of project you have to exercise patience for, like, the more that you can kind of soften it for them throughout, the better the communication will be later down the line. Okay. The presentation, is the time I will reveal the design board. At this step, you get to see what we pulled together, the floor plan, future arrangement for each room, mood boards with the items, actual paint colors that will be used, fabric, sample wallpaper, tile samples. Yes. Agreed to all. This is an interesting comment. What if you hate it? Well, if I have done my job correctly in assessing your needs from our consultation, you will love it. If you don't, I let you have one revision. If I missed the mark, this is why we go over everything in detail before anything is purchased. So this is such a fair point. And I think that typically it's not on the designer then that there has been a miscommunication. And, you know, like she says, unless she's really missed the mark, I don't really think that's common for a seasoned designer. I would think that that's poor communication on the end of the client. And, I doubt that this is going to be listened to by anyone who's not in the design industry, because this is so specific to actually the behind the scenes. But really, if you are a potential client, I think that it only benefits you to lay everything on the line. And if you really are in more of the exploratory stages, I think you need to be really honest about the fact that you really don't know. And, you're willing to let the designer kind of guide that and be open to that process. Again, if you're not, you might feel like you're relinquishing too much control to someone, and it might be an unenjoyable process for you. Is that negative? I don't think so. I think that's very accurate based on my experience. Okay. At this meeting, we'll have some payment to make, your second installment of 30%. Okay. She's being very specific. And so with ours, we more so would just have the payment schedule, as I shared earlier. That's outlined in the letter of agreement. Placement of orders. Okay. Once everything has been approved from the presentation, she doesn't say that, but that's what she means. Purchase order signed, tradesman order signed, and payment received. So we have them sign off on purchase orders. And something that I like to add to this is that, you know, if you change your mind as the client and you don't like something once it's in your space, you are subject to a restocking fee of 25%. And you're also potentially going to have to pay, and I don't even want to say potentially, because you will have to pay for a revision of this, and that will be subject to hourly fees. Because we are basically going back to the drawing board on whatever that item is. And the restocking fee is, there are a couple of reasons. So first of all, we use the storage unit to store all of our items. And so we're paying for that. And while that is a line item in the client's you know, budget, it is something that is being paid for. And so if it goes over that, you just really want to make sure you are sticking to your process, and that is something that you might, like, you've been paying to store it there. You might get stuck with it as part of your inventory. Like, that is a real thing in this community, that you occasionally get stuck with product. And so you need to be paid for a percentage of it if the vendor is not going to let you exchange it or return it. And, after the amount of months that we typically are storing it in the storage unit, you don't have all of those options. So the restocking fee is very important. So it must be in the purchase order. And we call those POs. Some people, by the way, use a software called Design Docs. We had integrated it recently, and, you know, you can put all of that verbiage in there, and then you can send them all out, and all of the information is on each purchase order, and easy for people to kind of follow, when they're going through and doing their proposals. And then on the other side is the client. It's just all in one spot, and it's all clear, and the colors outlined and the size and the price. Like, the, also I should say, we don't extend design discounts. Okay. And this is such a hot topic. I could talk about this for a whole podcast, but you don't expect to get discounts from people in other fields. Are you going to a doctor and asking for a discount on the medication? No, that's not a thing unless you have healthcare. So same thing, unless you have your own accreditations, why are you expecting to get a discount? And that is what some people foresee as a perk. But I think in this day's world of design, you are paying so much overhead, and there are so many deficiencies, and these are the relationships, most importantly, that you are creating, because of your time and efforts, that that money or that additional, you know, savings should come back into your firm. Some people call this double dipping. It's not. It's a security for any additional hours that could be incurred. And, well, that's another kind of thought process, but it's just what you're entitled to. So as simple as that. And I would say most of the time when you do say that, there's not even nobody bats an eyelash. They're just asking, 'cause that's, you know, a question that comes up, I think, for potential, clients to interior designers. But this is one of the only industries where this is a thing. And I really think it should stop. And there is transparency over what the cost of items are. And so that's all there is to it. And typically, like, the markups, there aren't really markups on our end. So it's pretty fair. So yeah, your flat rate fee, your hourly, and then you are entitled to the designer discount, I believe. But, you know, everyone does it differently. That's my thought. And say it right away, because otherwise it can become a whole thing. Initiation, and I'm going to say, like, going forward, this is my final thought on this. Going forward, that is how I intend on rolling forward my new business. No discounts. Receipt of orders. Some items may take several weeks. Others may be delivered within a week. I will warehouse and store everything as it arrives. Inspection for any damage wherever possible or whenever possible. If it needs assembly, blah, 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 there may be assemble and warehouse fees. Yes, this is also a thing. Like, we don't have warehouse fees associated to assembly, but we would then pay someone to come in and help with the install, who would put it together. And so when you are working with the volume of clients and product that we are, you absolutely need a place offsite. Now, whether that be, you know, a storage unit that you yourself have organized, that you would have to employ someone or be there to accept these items, that's one thing, but we would have a white glove service space called Mintman, and they would inspect, they would place the items alongside the other project or pieces like that were designated to said project, and then they would deliver the items and place it in the room of choice. I'm just trying to think if they remove the packaging. Now that I cannot be certain of. I believe they do. But you have to ask them all these questions, because if you don't, then you'll go, why is there a spike in their cost for the delivery? And, you know, if there are multiple deliveries, they're going to charge you for multiple deliveries and gas and the amount of men that's required for that said job. Like, it goes on and on. You just have to be so freaking diligent about all of this. Okay. Meeting to review budget and future planning. Step 9. This meeting will take place at your home. We'll review the work completed by the tradesman. Any final invoices are due now. Okay. I don't get this at all. Why? This will include 50% balance on the trade work. At this point, we'll set the date for install day. No, we don't do that, because again, the budget's outlined. And so there's no need to review budget like in this kind of formal way. However, there are constant budget discussions with clients throughout the whole project. Because even if people have signed off on $100,000, let's say, and they have signed all the purchase orders that equal $100,000, plus or minus our design fees, you know, whatever. But they will still want to know, even though they have signed off on the payment schedule and they see the money coming out, where are we at? Where are we at with the budget? And I totally get it, but all it would require is looking at the payment schedule and looking at how much you've paid the designer. But I think psychologically there is something that starts to happen when people are still living in an empty home, and even though they've seen all the purchase orders go through and they have resigned themselves to the waiting period, there starts to be this kind of cold feet mentality of, wait a second, you're still spending my money, but I don't know. There is just something that happens. And so you very much need to always be revising the whole payment schedule of it all, and where you're at in the project. And, you know, we've reviewed this, now we're working on this, or we've added this to the scope. It's just continuous. Install day, step 10. I love this. This is so exciting, so gratifying for the designer. Of course it doesn't come with some hiccups. Usually there's usually, you know, a thing or two missing, or something's too big or too small that you kind of have to wait and balance and potentially discuss. But this is such a thrilling day. Absolutely love snapping some shots, and then the anticipation of the client returning just like on a TV show. But, you should request they are not there for that. You don't want someone sitting there while your installer is hammering things into their wall. Like, request early on that they go out for the day, or they're gone. Like, they don't need to go for a week, but skedaddle so you can really reveal the magic and not have them stressed out at any point, and allow you some breathing room to sort out any little details that may be unfolding. Step 11, the big reveals. Yay. So you finally get to see your dream home. We will agree on a day to have the photographer over and photograph the transformation. Okay. I guess that has to be involved in the step 11, but typically that's not necessarily part of a step that needs to be written down. It's more so a conversation of, do you love it? We love it. We're having it photographed. You're cool with this? Okay, this is the timeline that works for them. What about you? And then, you know, you come in on, in a perfect world, everything that you've done on reveal day is exactly how you want it to be for the photography. But typically, you know, you still are bringing in styling products and flowers, of course, but you're still styling it to your exact tastes and portfolio needs. And, it's super fun. Step 12, deficiencies walkthrough. Sometimes things happen. A walkthrough to reveal any concerns or problems will point this out. I mean, this happens like pretty, that more so happens on step 10, the install day. It's pretty clear right away, like what has potentially gone wrong. And you are starting to kick into that deficiency correction mode immediately. Step 13, resolving deficiencies. If there are any deficiencies, we'll work through them as efficiently as possible. So yeah, same thing goes, because depending on hourly or flat rate, like some of these deficiencies will require what I talked about in the purchase order being revised as an item. And you will have to then talk money again and revisiting hours. And they will maybe want to add some stuff to the scope, or now they want to remove items from the scope. You know, there's all kinds of intricacies that can happen and just makes it more interesting. Step 14 and 15, client closure, meeting, and binder. After you're settled into your beautiful home, I will ask for a final meeting. I want to give you a binder with all your warranty information, fabric samples, paint colors. You'll be happy to have this information should you need to, blah, 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 should the need arise in the future. Additionally, you will receive a binder with the before, after photos of your home. Yeah. Okay. And we've done that, and I think people appreciate that. And you can decide if you want to go that extra mile. So that seems to be more or less the 15 steps. And I think that, it still remains to be a quite accurate depiction of the, you know, client process and project turnout. There are little things, like mostly as I shared, that are more so of the beginning part and, working out what the payment schedule is going to look like, and really, really, from the less creative side, but more administrative side, really explain all of that to them and how some of their decisions will be impacted because of the letter of agreement. And I think the more transparent you can be, the better. Otherwise you can get into these kind of, tricky conversations that you don't want to have. And it's not because anybody's trying to be untruthful or anything, but I think that there are certain things that as an expert or as someone who has done a line of work for a long time doesn't necessarily realize, isn't obvious to someone who hasn't done it before. And so you really have to go through it like you're speaking to, a layman, and really, not expect that they understand any of it. You really have to break it down, and you might feel a little silly doing that, but it will only reward you later, and they will feel trust, the trust of knowing that you are really explaining it into a way, or in a way that they really understand and that is comprehensive, so that nothing is missed. Okay, 45 minutes. I hope you enjoyed this, and if there's anything that you want to know, please just contact me on Instagram at Laura Collins Design, and you can can also see me on my series that is documenting this move to Calgary from Toronto and starting my own design business for Porter on my Instagram, and jump into the podcast where I interview all kinds of people who I'm really interested in their creative journey, all kinds of entrepreneurs and people that I just am interested in learning about who they are, what their life, the sequence of how they got to be where they are, and I loved spending this time with you. Thank you so much.